It's estimated that $90 billion has been spent by the Federal Environmental Protection Agency in the past decade to clean up the environment. And if you look at the information in the Independent Corporate Crime Report, quoting public documents of government filings, of the top 20 all-time corporate criminals, five were prosecuted and fined for environmental violations, more than $200 million. That's since 1991. Do those sound like big numbers? Well, try this one. According to the first-ever database to track environmental crimes, the John Jay College of Criminal Justice finds that just one-half of 1% of environmental violations trigger criminal investigations of any kind. Graham Cates is the deputy managing editor of the Crime Report. He joins us now. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So what were you alarmed by most in this statistic, and what would you have expected to find?
I think just in general, we would have expected to see more investigations. Not that all 64,000 are actual crimes, but that more of them would have been looked into as crimes.
Now, when you use this number 64,000, what are you referring to?
It's the number of facilities that are currently listed as being in violation across the country by the Environmental Protection Agency.
So you can go to the EPA website and see 64,000, or hunt through there and find 64,000 violators or actual potential violators, but there aren't necessarily any investigations going on at all.
Absolutely. In the last year, there were 297 criminal investigations out of that 64,000.
Now, is this the result of some really high-powered lawyers making some, admirable motions in court? Is this the result of no resources at the EPA? What would you attribute this to?
A mix of both, actually. The EPA only has 200 investigators for the entire country. And the Department of Justice's Criminal Enforcement Division only has 38 prosecutors assigned to environmental crimes.
Would you say this is not a priority of the Department of Justice or the Obama administration?
Certainly. Number of investigations goes down almost every year, going back actually not just during the Obama administration, but going back since 2001.
We've been talking about a story here where, because of an event in Libya, an event involving a Benghazi suspect, an antitrust violation. And by the way, there are a lot more antitrust violators in the top corporate criminals of all time online than there are environmental, that this whole investigation of a bank fraud and a bank settlement was held up so that they could get maximum sort of play in the media. That's what we were talking about earlier this hour. It sounds like the environmental prosecutions are of no concern whatsoever at DOJ.
Right. I think the biggest environmental prosecutions tend to be when there are big accidents that everyone can see. So the big BP disaster from a couple of years ago was one where they really went for it. But typically, environmental crimes are hard to see. That's pollution in the air or stuff leaking into the water. And so it's not the kind of stuff that makes for good TV.
What would you say of the 64,000 that you and your team looked at was something that seems particularly egregious in an actual place where we could point to a map and say, man, if there's not a violation here, if there's not a prosecution here, what the heck's going on?
So we looked at a couple of cases where not necessarily that they definitely were crimes, but just that you would have expected at least an investigation to determine whether or not it was a crime. In one instance, there was an explosion at a refinery in Wynnewood, Oklahoma, which was owned by a company called CVR Energy. It's a company that's run by Carl Icahn, the billionaire investor. And two men died in the explosion. And the EPA settled within a year for $86,000. And OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Hazards Administration, and Health Administration, settled for $200,000. But there was no criminal investigation. And the explosion involved an antique boiler that had basically none of the kind of basic safety precautions in place that you'd expect to find.
And do you find that the multiple ownership here, or the embedded ownership, subsidiary of subsidiary of subsidiary, makes the job more difficult, and the overlapping jurisdiction of worker safety and environmental violation also complicates matters?
Sure. We spoke to EPA investigators who said basically it's really difficult to get someone within a company to tell you information about the company committing a crime because no one wants to flip against a paycheck is what they said.
What would you suggest as a corrective here? Is it a matter of resources? I mean, last year the budget for the EPA was something like $8 billion, and that's remained relatively constant over the last decade.
It's tough to say. there are so few resources right now devoted to environmental crime that a starting point would have to be just devoting more time to looking into this kind of mass of violations that they have. There are people who say maybe it should be a different court system for environmental crimes, because these cases, especially with corporations, just take years, if not decades, to go through the court.
What about state and local authorities? Do they pass this up to the feds, or do they have any involvement here?
It's a mix. Each state has a different type of regulatory system in place. So there are states, for West Virginia, for instance, that are kind of notoriously lax when it comes to enforcing environmental law. And then there are states, New York's pretty good at kind of keeping track of what's going on.
Graham Cates is deputy managing editor of the Crime Report at John Jay College of Criminal Justice. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing.
Or politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.